in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 7. We find our next beatitude that we're studying in our series on the Beatitudes. Jesus says here, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." The Beatitudes, as we have noted, are purposefully arranged, and Jesus, in fact, is dealing with the attitudes that will bring out of the world, bring one out of the world and unto salvation, and they are also the attitudes that we are to possess once having been saved by the blood of our Lord. We can see the essential ingredients that will first give new spiritual life in Christ, and then those that must be kept or maintained in order to have the new spiritual life. Our fifth beatitude is, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." This is a disposition of heart. And it is a disposition of heart that first must be obtained in order for it to be practiced. Mercy and the happiness that comes from it are first received into the heart of the Christian and then given forth from that same heart. Now, someone says, well, just exactly how does one obtain mercy? How do you obtain mercy? Well, I would like for just a moment to take a walk with you through the conversion of one Saul of Tarsus and notice how this golden chain that we've referred to in previous lessons, how this golden chain of attitudes is present in his conversion. Notice, first of all, poor in spirit. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," which refers to humility. Paul was an arrogant, independent Pharisee, to put it very bluntly. But in our account of his conversion, he was struck to his knees. He was led blind into the city of Damascus. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Excuse me. I don't know what's going on here this morning. Wow. Excuse me. I may have to take a drink. That's better. Well, let's try that again. "Blessed are those who mourn." Paul, of course, was brought to his knees. Humility overtook him. He realized his sin. And having met the Lord on the road, he realized his need for Christ. But look at this. "Blessed are the meek." He became determined that God's will would be his own will. No longer was it I, Saul, in the know-it-all, who knows everything and can tell everybody what to do. No, not anymore. Not anymore. He was surrendered in obedience to Christ and determined that God's will would be his own will. Also, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Well, he was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He made plans to follow Jesus. That was his evident plan from the time that he met the Lord on the road until Ananias came and laid his hands on him and he began to see once again. What was the result of this? Well, this all brought him to baptism and consequently a life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, what's all this about? By this, he obtained the mercy of God. That's how he obtained the mercy of God. He realized that what Jesus had said back in John 12 and verse 48, that he who rejected Jesus and did not receive his words would have that which would judge him in the last day. Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." However, Jesus also said in Luke 6 and verse 36, Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Thus, mercy is something that is received in one way and one way only, and that is through Jesus Christ. And it is not earned. It is granted. Now, beginning with this fifth beatitude, we see those qualities that are to be part of those now experiencing new life in Jesus Christ. As Paul had received mercy, he is now to show mercy. After becoming a Christian, we must build the character that begins with mercy through the sixth and the seventh and the eighth beatitude, which the Lord willing, we're going to cover. These are qualities that we are to be. I want you to hear that now. Qualities that we are to be, not some single act that we do. And there is a difference. There is a difference. We will act in these ways because that's what we are. That's what we are. Now, in order to get a good picture of this, we need to ask the question, what is mercy? Well, first of all, let's talk about what it is not. Okay? We know that God is merciful. In fact, his communication with the Israelites, if you remember, took place at the mercy seat. Remember? But mercy is not turning our heads and refusing to see evil things or to see things that are evil in and of themselves. Some people think, oh, being merciful means you don't criticize these evil things over here. You just kind of turn and look the other way. That's not what mercy is. Mercy is not smiling at sin and winking at lawlessness. That's not mercy. And mercy is not a flabby, easygoing person who forgives everything at the drop of a hat either. Which is unfortunately what some people seem to think mercy is. We should know that because God is merciful and he's not like that. That doesn't describe God in any way. Well, what is God? Well, God is both righteous and just. And since God is merciful, righteousness and justice must go with this in order for it to come from God. And that, of course, is what we want to take into consideration. I think one of the best examples might be in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 30, an example that Jesus used here. When he talked about the kingdom being, a kingdom of heaven being like a certain king, who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And if you'll recall, he began to settle accounts and he brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. Now that, of course, was money, we know. Okay? But he was not able to pay. And the master commanded that he be sold and his wife and children and all that he had and that payment should be made. Now the servant fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But this same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, compared to what he owed this king, this was nothing, like a couple of pennies. But he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. We don't need to read any further to see the great emphasis on mercy and compassion and love in the pages of inspiration. Being merciful. So what is mercy then? Well, mercy is compassion coupled with action. notice again, has nothing to do with closing your eyes to sin or tolerating that which is evil. That has nothing, to do with it. The Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 is probably one of the best examples of mercy. He had no obligation, and if anything, he probably had every right to avoid this Jew. But he didn't. He had compassion on him. And having compassion for him, he took pity on him and he did what he could to help him. That's mercy. It is compassion coupled with action. Mercy, it might be described as love in action toward those in need. That's a good description. Love in action toward those in need. Or possibly toward those in trouble, like the Good Samaritan. That would be a good example there. But it also requires us to look upon the sinful as well. Look at the mercy expressed by Jesus in Luke 23 and verse 34. As he hung suspended between heaven and earth, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's mercy. That's mercy. And it requires us being merciful toward those who have wronged us as well. Look at the example of Stephen. Here's a man preaching the gospel, and he told them what they needed to know. And what did they do? They stoned him to death. But before he died, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Like the Lord, Stephen asked God to forgive them. He knew that they had no idea what they were doing, had no concept of what they were doing. They needed to be saved, and he was doing everything he could to help them. Mercy is something that relieves spiritual wants as well as physical need. Mercy relieves spiritual wants as well as physical needs. And by the way, notice that need is the key here. It's not want. We may want a whole lot of things physically, but that's not something we are merciful towards in the same sense. Now, with that idea in mind, a couple of questions for us to ponder. Do I reach out gladly toward the needs that people have? Now notice I'm not talking about wants, I'm talking about needs. Do I see somebody who needs something and just step up and take care of it? Am I merciful towards them? Or do I just turn my head and walk the other way? Now notice I'm not asking, do I serve? Because serving many times is done with disgust. All right, I took care of that. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not mercy. That's not mercy. And I'm not talking about extending pardon and then later going, oh, I wish I'd have done that. They didn't deserve that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not mercy. Whenever we extend clemency or pardon to someone, we can do this with contempt towards them. And that's not mercy. What is it then? It is wanting to serve and to pardon, which flows from a heart of love, which is done by those who have experienced pardon at the hands of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what it is. And you notice there is an inseparable connection between mercy and cheerfulness. Look with me, if you will, at Romans 12. I want to read just a few verses here, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, having gifts, then our differing gifts then, according to the grace that's given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the portion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy, what does it say? With cheerfulness. I read an interesting observation on mercy, and I think it fits perfectly, and that is, mercy forgives when it has the power to punish. Think about it. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels and cleaned up the place. But he didn't. He was merciful, even to those who put him to death. I think that's a real strong point that we need to think about as we ponder this subject of mercy. But all of these things are pertinent and very important. But in our beatitude here, the question has to be asked, what is promised to the merciful? Notice with each one of our beatitudes, Jesus said, blessed are, for they shall. And it's the same thing here, isn't it? What is promised? Well, I think if we look at the whole New Testament picture, we can see how what Jesus says fits in. In James 2 and verse 13, notice, judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, James understood that. But look back over here in the prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray in Matthew 6. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. What does that say? Well, if I am not merciful toward others who need mercy shown, it means that I have miserably failed to see the working of mercy that has brought about my own redemption and the life that I now have in Christ. So what did Jesus say? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is granted through Christ by the gospel. There's where mercy comes. To who? Who receives it? You're going to get tired of hearing this before we're done. But you need to hear it, okay? Mercy is granted through Jesus by the gospel to those who are humble, those who sorrow for sin, those who willingly submit, those who hunger and thirst for it. You see the connection? You see the connection? Mercy, though, is something that is conditional in this respect. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. There are conditions that must be met. And we need to remember that. But notice what Jesus says through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2 and 1. When Paul wrote to the brethren over there, he recognized something about their prior condition. He says, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, God showed mercy. You he made alive. You were dead. But look at the mercy of God that's been shown toward you. And we as Christians are expected to spread this same benevolence of spirit as we travel through on this road of life as Christians. We're expected to show this same benevolent spirit. But you know, there's something here that we need to understand, and understand it completely in this context. And you know what it is? It's very plain from what we read here in James 2. And 13, that those who will not live mercifully will die by the justice of God. That's a serious thought. A very serious thought. Judgment is without mercy. to those who show no mercy. Think about that. How do you treat your fellow man? Are you merciful towards him? Now notice, I'm not talking about ignoring the fact that they're guilty of sin or ignoring the fact that they're doing evil things. That's not what I'm talking about. But how do you look upon someone who is steeped in sin? Are you like the Pharisee who stood in the temple and said, Lord, aren't you glad you have me? I'm the most wonderful thing that you ever had, and I'm not like that fellow over there. Low life, publican. Look at how great I am. Not like that low life over there. Is that how you approach things? Or do you look upon those who are not privileged like you are, maybe? Or those who are maybe not as well taught as you are? And you say, but for the grace of God, there go I. I have so many reasons to be thankful for the fact that I have been blessed with the things I've been blessed with. They have not had this, or possibly have rejected it. But you should have compassion for them and be merciful towards them. Which means that you should look for every opportunity you possibly can to help them come out of that condition. And I seriously believe this is something that we as Christians too often don't have. We're more content to just get in our little world and be happy with what we have and be glad we're not like them. You remember what Jesus said about the fella who went into the temple? Which one of them came out of there justified before God? Not the Pharisee. But the man who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He's the one who invoked God's mercy because he realized his condition. And he had no reason to look down on anybody. He wouldn't even raise his eyes to God. That's how humiliated he was in his condition. We need a whole lot more of that. Every day that we pray, we need to be like that. If you spend your time praying, telling God how great you are, you better reconsider what you're doing. And remember to ask him to be merciful to you. And guess what? That will help you to be merciful to others. Because you won't get all heady or haughty thinking about how wonderful you are. You'll be praying for those poor people who have not had the privileges that you've had, and pray that something might be done by you or someone else maybe to help them. And where you can help, you help. You do what you can, what's it within your means to do. Because judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. In this way, that is by you being merciful, mercy triumphs over judgment. God will look upon you and see that you're like he is. You have compassion. You show mercy. Every one of us need to think about that. Without fail, God indeed is merciful. There's no question about it. I wanted to find a passage that was illustrative of that. Illustrative of this. And 2 Chronicles 30 and 9 caught my attention as I was looking through all the different references that might be referred to. But here, the call is made to God's people to return to him. He says, return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who led them captive, so that they may come back to this land. Now remember, they were taken into exile, but God promised them they would come back. He promised them they would come back. And he says, God will be merciful. Why? For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn his face from you. Here's the caveat. If you return to him. That's something we can count on. When we turn our hearts to God and strive to do his will, he will be merciful. But as long as we are stubborn and going our own way and doing our own thing, whatever we want to do, we can't count on him to be merciful. He says, you have got to turn your face around towards him in order to have that mercy. And it's always there. It's always there. So God is merciful. What then is the final lesson to learn? If God is merciful, we must be merciful. What did the Lord say? Be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Notice God does not condone sin. God does not tell people to keep on sinning and let's see how it works out. No, he calls them to turn from sin. And notice his long suffering, waiting for them to turn from sin. He could just say, that's it, and destroy them all. But he keeps giving them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But someday that opportunity's gone. Right now, if you have not been obedient to the gospel of Christ, you should be thankful that God is merciful. It's only by his mercy that you're still here. But someday, that's going to run out. And we don't know when that's going to run out. It could run out because of your health failing, and you might not be able to live another day. That's possible. It might be because you have an automobile accident or some other form of accident, and your life comes to an end. That's when you have strained God's mercy to the end, right there. That's it. But right now, he's merciful to you. And if you will be obedient to him, confessing your faith in Jesus, who is the Christ, his son, and being buried with him in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, you'll recognize that wonderful mercy. And then you too can be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Think about it. And the same thing goes to those of you who have obeyed the gospel at one time, but you have not been faithful. You're stretching God's mercy. He's giving you opportunity to repent. But if you don't, then you're going to have to stand in judgment condemned. Dead serious about this. For every one of us, think seriously about it.